Bizarre Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies releasing this week.
And whatever movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
And I'm Travis, and here are the movies premiering this week.
But before we do that, Travis.
Yes, sir.
I have a separate question for you.
Yes.
What would you do if I had done that accent the entire time?
I would have been okay with it. It probably would have, like, I wouldn't have, say, scared the other viewers, but they would have been like, what the heck is going on?
Oh, we would have lost viewers so much.
Oh, yeah, so most many. Definitely.
But, Travis.
Yes.
How's your week been going, man?
Oh, it's been good. Let's see. So I hit my 1 year here at St. Michael Cinema.
Woo! Which, by the way, thank you, St. Michael Cinema, for supporting the podcast and,
yes,
and
thank
sponsoring.
You
very
That's
much. The word, sponsoring the podcast. Appreciate it very much.
Yes, very much so.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a wonderful year and hopefully more to come. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I did have a chance to watch two movies.
Yeah.
So the first one I watched was Late Night with the Devil.
How was that?
So, I really like David Dasmalchian as the lead actor. I thought he did a very good job. He's very charming as a late night host. I liked everything that went on within the movie, all the horror elements. I didn't really notice the AI, but I wasn't really looking for it, though, either. And didn't really know, like, I didn't really look up. Because I know there was the huge controversy with the AI in Late Night with the Devil. And I don't know, like, what parts had the AI in it. But I couldn't really tell.
Gotcha.
They use a lot of practical effects, which I'm very happy with. It's a heck of a lot of fun. I would recommend it if you're into horror movies with a little bit of gore. Yeah.
Very nice.
And then the other movie I watched was Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
How was that one?
So, I went into it with low expectations, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
I still don't care about the human characters, but when Kong and Godzilla are on screen and they're fighting together or against each other or against another enemy, then I'm glued to the screen and I want to watch every second of it. So all I ask, I know they're not going to have just them fighting throughout the entire movie. They have to have that middle ground of, you know, they have to have the humans to kind of center the story. But if they got rid of that, I think it would be a whole lot better, but I know they won't do it.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Sweet. How about you? Did you watch anything this weekend?
Yes. We ended up, so I was with family this weekend because of the holiday, and we ended up, I ended up rewatching The Marvels.
Nice. Okay.
So that was fun. And basically there were a couple people there that, you know, they don't really pay attention to Marvel. They don't really pay attention to any of that kind of stuff, but it seemed like they had a good time with it too. So
that's good.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And then I had a chance to go watch something else, but I didn't.
Aw. Sad day.
A little bit. I actually had a chance to go watch that Nickelback documentary that just came out. And now I have to wait for it to come out on any sort of streaming platform. But it ended up being at the same exact time as my family function for this weekend.
Sure, right.
And so my family function was 2.5 hours away from where I'm at, which would have made it a little difficult to go see the movie and then attend the family function.
Definitely, right.
And I'm pretty sure some of my family would have been not too pleased, which,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's me. So
right, I get you.
But we got that all good to go, and we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, I hate to love Nickelback.
Okay. So it's basically about how people love to hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, there's also people out there that just absolutely love Nickelback, though, too. Yep.
And, like, how it's kind of like a, or at least back in the day, which was Wednesday.
Ah, nice.
How it was kind of taboo to like mm-hmm. Nickelback. Even though they had some bangers of some songs there.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But they were just, you know, they were overplayed and they were, you know, too cliche and too mainstream to be liked by a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
is what some people thought.
Right.
And so, yeah, basically, like, in the trailer for the documentary, I know they had said something like, you know, a lot of this stuff you can just kind of let slide off your back, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But some of that stuff sticks.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, no matter what, some of that stuff sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just kind of them, I guess, battling with being Nickelback.
Right.
And with everything that happened with them over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did want to see it, but I couldn't make it, unfortunately.
Well, that stinks.
And yeah.
They were free tickets, too, so, I mean.
They were.
Yeah.
They were. Go figure. The one time that I actually win something. And I can't go.
Oh, that stinks. But, well, you can always just be like, hey, I won on the radio, so you can just give me this DVD for free, right?
Right, right. Bring in my unused tickets.
There you go.
Be like, yeah, give that to me, please. Yep. I would like that. Thank you. Okay.
Because people would totally do it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, especially like Target. They always give stuff away.
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
So, but what do you say we hop into some of our movie news?
Well, hop, hop, let's go.
Because the Easter Bunny hop, hop. That was just yesterday as of recording. Ha, 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 ha.
I hate myself.
Okay. So the first thing that we have here is actually some interesting news. I know we mm-hmm. kind of talked about it before, but Alamo Drafthouse,
mm-hmm.
how they had gone through bankruptcy and everything like that.
Right.
Apparently now they are up for sale.
Mm, okay.
And there's been a few studios and stuff that have heard the sales pitch, but no bidders as of yet.
Okay.
And so, you know, basically it sounds like it's just the Alamo movie theaters. It's not the franchise Alamo theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Which they cleared $134 million at the 2023 box office.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is, I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
But with their business model, you know, they got all of the regular employees, and then they've got waiters and bartenders and all of that stuff
mm-hmm.
to kind of have as their overhead,
sure.
kind of thing. But, you know, that's why a lot of people would pay the premium for the Alamo Drafthouse, is because of all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see how it all goes. But as of right now, it sounds like they are up for sale. So, you know, if you have, you know, more than a couple hundred million dollars, you know, burning a hole in your pocket.
Right.
Maybe.
Have you ever been to an Alamo Draft House?
I have not.
Because I know we have one here in Minnesota.
Yeah, out in Woodbury.
Yep. Because I know right before the pandemic, a local radio station was going to be showing a movie that I was thinking about going to go see, but then the pandemic happened and it kind of fell through. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that kind of never happened and hasn't happened since. So
right, yeah, and I know it's. I've driven past it a couple of different times because mm-hmm. I have family that lives out there too.
Sure,
and they've been to it.
Okay.
I have not.
Okay,
but I drive past and it's like, ah, Alamo. Right, I got to go there at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was going to go there for something. I don't remember what it was, but then
it was
I
Knives
think
Out.
It might have been Knives Out.
Or Glass Onion, I mean, sorry.
No, I don't think it was Glass Onion.
Okay.
I think it was pre-pandemic, or like right near okay. pandemic time.
Sure.
Like when everything kind of closed down,
mm-hmm.
I think. But yeah, I basically... Sounds like they're up for sale here, so
okay.
maybe something to kind of keep an eye out for if you want a, you know, theater chain.
I will get right on that.
Right, right. but I guess kind of moving on here to get to some of the stuff that we have mm-hmm. to talk about today. Christopher Nolan and his wife, Emma Thomas, who is basically a producing partner on like all of his films.
Right.
They have been, Christopher Nolan has been knighted and Emma Thomas has gained her damehood, I guess, just for their contributions to cinema.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Or they will, I should say, they will receive knighthood and damehood.
Okay, so they haven't gotten it yet, but they will.
That's what it's looking like here.
Okay.
I'm just trying to see if I can figure out time frame wise. I'm not seeing anything here, okay. Time frame wise specifically, but we've got all that going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, you know.
Most definitely.
Been a few actors and actresses that have gotten all of that, and yeah. Now we have Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas, who will be have that honor as well.
Well, he definitely deserves it. So does his wife, too. I mean, his wife does, too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a pretty good arsenal of movies that they've completed and have done pretty darn well.
They sure have, right.
You know what else has done well?
What's that?
The first three Pirates.
Arr.
So, apparently, we are going to have a Pirates 6. Pirates of the Caribbean, number 6.
Okay.
But it will be a reboot of the franchise.
Okay.
And it, which means that basically they won't have to be waiting for any movie stars, you know, to have space in their schedules for this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll get any people coming back at all, or if it's going to be like a full-on reboot.
Okay.
Or like a... Or maybe a reboot in the way that Jurassic World was a reboot kind of thing.
Sure.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how it all goes. But
if I remember correctly, wasn't the Pirates movies around the time when like Pirates were ending, like, or getting around to it? Because I swear I remember in at least one of the movies that they were talking like Pirates, like it's kind of the way of the past.
Right. And I mean, I kind of stopped watching after the third one.
Okay.
I never saw 4 or 5.
Okay.
But I know 5 was the one with Javier Bardem, right?
Yes.
And I think that's what they were kind of saying is, you know, the pirating ways are the ways of the past and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. You know, they're going the way of the dodo, basically.
Right. The way of the dodo. Nice.
They still had dodos back then, didn't they?
Sure.
At the end of the 17th century.
Hmm, okay.
So, yeah, they would have gone the way of the dodos by then. Because that was, wow. You know, what, 18th in the early 19th century?
Something like, yeah. Okay.
Ha ha! We do have a new Pirates movie coming in. Who knows? We might get a wonkified version of Jack Sparrow.
Hmm. Wonkified? Okay, nice.
Speaking of Timothy Chalamet,
mm-hmm.
apparently with the way that Wonka and Dune have been doing for him,
right?
He's actually signed a deal with Warner Bros. To act and produce in movies.
Okay.
Act in and produce movies,
mm-hmm.
I should say. So basically he's under contract with Warner Bros. Now, which Warner Bros., yeah.
I mean, Warner Brothers is a whole different mess, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically we have more Timothy Chalamet movies coming in from Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of stuff that we're looking at, but basically he's a contract worker now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he might get more into producing and then maybe go into more directing, which I mean, that's kind of a pipeline that a lot of people do.
Most definitely. Yeah.
So we'll see how it all goes.
Hopefully they don't go too fast.
I mean, that's the thing, Travis. You gotta go fast.
You gotta go really, really fast. Supersonic.
Speaking of Sonic, Sonic 3 has wrapped filming. So, and it should be released around Christmas time is what they're saying.
Okay.
So, I mean, that does give, you know, at least some time to do effects work and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, which is nice. I don't know what kind of crunch they'll be under.
Right.
Because, I mean, they have almost 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they've been working on the effects as well, you know, they have a little bit more time. But who knows if they're actually, you know, having an issue, or not having an issue, but like being crunched down to try to get this all going or whatnot.
Sure, right.
So we'll have to see how it all goes.
Did you ever see Sonic 2? Of course, who am I talking to?
I wanted to. I
know. If you ever have the chance to see it, it's not as good as the first. I didn't think it was as good as the first one, but I could be wrong. Maybe you might really like it.
Sequels never are.
I mean, that's very true. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but they're very few.
Right, right. So we'll see how that all goes, but it would be a mega achievement if they got a sequel better than the original.
Yes, huge. Mega is a great word for it. And segue.
But yeah, I know we've talked about this movie before, Megalopolis, which is the Francis Ford Coppola, his kind of self-funded big name movie, really, because he had a lot of people in it. I'm trying to remember. So we had, I know we had Adam Driver, and then Giancarlo Esposito was in there as well. I don't remember who all else was in there. Oh, here we go. Lawrence Fishburne, Aubrey Plaza, Shia LaBeouf, Dustin Hoffman, D.B. Sweeney, Jason Schwartzman. I mean, there's a few people in there. And so it sounds like basically he actually screened it for a bunch of distributors and to see if they can get like some distribution going for it. Because it's finally, you know, it's finished, it's ready to go. But apparently also in tow at the theater were family, friends, and filmmakers. And that list included Angelica Houston, Nicolas Cage, Andy Garcia, Spike Jones, Al Pacino, Jon Favreau, Darren Aronofsky, and then some members of the cast as well.
Wow. It was a Hollywood who's who, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, Francis Ford Coppola is kind of, you know, a pretty big name in Hollywood.
Right.
And also is, you know, related to most everyone in Hollywood.
Right, exactly.
And trace back lineage long enough, and it basically... I know Nicolas Cage is what, a nephew or something?
Something like that, yeah. I don't remember exactly, but I know they're related.
And, you know, so this is one that, I don't know, I need to see a trailer, but with how much that we've heard of it and how long we've been hearing about it, it's kind of like, man, I kind of want to go watch it.
Right, oh, exactly.
So we'll see how it all goes. And then we'll see if it gets a sequel.
Most definitely.
Kind of like A Simple Favor did.
Wait, they're doing a sequel?
They are. A sequel is now in the works, and apparently, so the Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively, I believe, are signed on for it.
Okay.
And they have also signed on Allison Janney.
Ooh, okay.
And then Paul Feig, as far as I know, is back as well to write and direct it.
I really like the first one. Like, it was a surprise that I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. So I'm happy to hear that they're doing a sequel. I just don't remember there being room for a sequel, but I guess in Hollywood there's always room for a sequel.
There's always room for
that's
a sequel.
Very true.
So basically, just kind of reading through here, Feig is back to helm the follow-up to his 2018 dark comedy with Henry Golding, Andrew Rannells, Bashir Salahuddin, Joshua Satin, Ian Ho, and Kelly McCormick, all reprising their roles.
Ooh, okay.
And then, okay, so Jessica Scharzer, who penned the original movie, returned to write the sequel with Feig and, I cannot pronounce his name, Leta Kalagridis, also contributing to the script.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So we'll see how that all goes, but it sounds like everybody's back for the sequel.
Well, awesome.
Should be fun.
And then they're adding Allison Janney. I mean, she's fantastic.
Absolutely.
I will always remember her from 10 Things I Hate About You. That's how I always picture her.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It is.
But yeah, we'll have to see how that all goes.
Definitely.
We'll see if any of them get caught stealing.
Nice segue.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we have a new movie coming out as well called Caught Stealing. This one is going to be from Darren Aronofsky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun name to say, Darren Aronofsky.
Darren Aronofsky.
Right?
It is fun.
Right? And so it sounds like Austin Butler is now set to star in the movie.
That Austin Butler, he's so hot right now.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yep. Yeah.
So, Darren Aronofsky, obviously, you know, coming from movies like Black Swan and The Whale,
mm-hmm.
Is now doing Caught Stealing,
mm-hmm.
and Austin Butler coming from Masters of the Air, Dune Part 2, Elvis, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
Is coming into it. It's actually based off of a book.
Okay.
Why Can I Not? By Charlie Houston. And, Charlie Houston is actually coming in to write the script as well.
Okay.
And basically it's about Hank Thompson, a burned-out former baseball player, as he's unwittingly plunged into a wild fight for survival in the downtown criminal underworld of 90s New York City.
Interesting.
Should be a fun time.
Definitely. I mean, that just seems different for Darren Aronofsky, for his, because he's usually, his movies are a wide range of different things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I can't picture him doing like a sports themed movie, but hey, go for it, man.
I don't know if it's actually going to be sports themed because it's just a burned out former baseball player.
True. Very true. Okay.
And then he's plunged into a wild fight for survival in downtown criminal underworld of NYC. So it's going to be all criminal,
mm-hmm. know,
criminal underworld of New York City back in the 90s, which is oof.
Right.
And then, I mean, I can see Austin Butler as a burned out baseball player.
Oh, I can too. Yeah.
But you take, you know, just kind of the creepy and the weird of Black Swan,
mm-hmm.
and just the emotionalness of The Whale,
mm-hmm.
and you put that into something like this, I can see that being just basically a pretty killer combo.
Right. Oh, definitely.
So we'll see how it all goes.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. But I don't know, this next one might be, this next segue might be a little bit of a reach. Or,
oh, he does play Reacher, doesn't he? Okay, all right.
So Alan Ritchson,
mm-hmm.
who plays Reacher,
mm-hmm.
Is apparently set to star in a movie called War Machine.
Ooh, Marvel's gonna be pissed.
Well, this one is coming from Patrick Hughes.
Okay.
He's gonna be directing it. And Patrick Hughes is actually coming, this one is gonna be going to, or I should say, Patrick Hughes is best known for the Hitman's Bodyguard films.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is in a deal with Netflix.
Okay.
And so we'll have to see how this all goes. But basically, this is the synopsis of it.
Okay.
In the final 24 hours of the world's toughest selection process, a team of Army Rangers encounter a threat beyond their imagination.
Hmm.
Yes.
Interesting.
It should be very interesting. I mean, Alan Ritchson, like, we talked about it before, but Alan Ritchson is everywhere these days.
He's doing anything and everything nowadays.
Seems to be, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's also pretty hot on, you know, the social medias as well.
Oh, definitely, right.
He's doing pretty well there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we'll see how this all goes. I mean, I liked the first Hitman's Bodyguard.
Me too.
Yeah. I didn't really have any urge to see the second one.
Sure.
So I didn't.
I didn't see it either, so, to be fair.
But that being said, I mean, I like what I've seen Alan Ritchson in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between Reacher and not Mission Impossible. Which one was it?
He was Fast and Furious.
Yes, thank you. Fast and Furious, Fast X.
Yes.
Which I'm ready for the next one. I want to see where they take it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Oh, definitely.
So, so he has that coming in too, and then he has this one. Mm-hmm. He has Ungentlemanly Warfare that's coming out.
Oh,
really soon here.
Yes, he does, yeah.
Which, by the way, apparently him and Henry Cavill were kind of going back and forth,
mm-hmm.
About, you know, Alan Ritchson was kind of giving Henry Cavill a hard time about, you know, needing to put on some muscle mass, and Henry Cavill was doing the same to him. Just 'cause, I mean, neither of them need to put on any more muscle mass.
Like, those two are huge already.
Yeah. And so they were just kind of, you know, having fun with each other.
That's great. I'm glad that they can still have fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, Alan Ritchson seems to be doing pretty well on the social media, just like, you know, knows how to hold on to an audience, knows how to, you know, seem relatable, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that all goes. But speaking of Mission Impossible, because I thought he was in Mission Impossible, but then he wasn't.
I gotcha.
But Henry Cavill was in Mission Impossible.
He sure was.
shotgun arms.
That's right.
The new Mission Impossible 8.
Mm-hmm.
We have some casting news on that.
Okay.
Apparently, Katie O'Brien has joined in for Mission Impossible 8.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh, okay. All right.
She was the other half of the main two.
Okay.
So it was Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien.
Okay. I still wanted to watch that one. I didn't have the chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I can picture her now. Okay.
And so we have her coming in for Mission Impossible 8, which is the one that we still don't know the name of because they're apparently not calling it Dead Reckoning Part 2.
Aww.
I think we talked about it, that they had taken off the Part 1 of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Right.
And as of right now, we haven't heard what the new name of the movie will be.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we've got a lot of people returning. I mean, obviously, Tom Cruise, obviously.
Well, of course.
And then Haley Atwell, Vanessa Kirby, Simon Pegg, Shea Whigham, Palm Clementif. I can never remember her last name. Mantis.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Is what I mainly know her for. Ving Rhames is going to be back. You know, it's Christopher McQuarrie's back to direct.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how this all goes.
What about Simon Pegg?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Simon Pegg. Sorry, I thought I said his name, but I definitely probably missed it.
Oh, you're good. No worries.
But yeah, so we have that one coming in, I believe, May of next year.
Wow.
Yeah, so we still have over a year before the next Mission Impossible comes out.
I feel like we waited forever for Dead Reckoning.
Right.
And now we have to wait forever for this one.
Well, I mean, we kind of did.
Yeah.
Because of everything happening in 2020.
That's true.
And then they were one of the first ones back on set.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because they had crazy protocols in check to make sure everybody stayed safe.
The very true, and Tom Cruise got mad at everybody.
Yes.
Wear your masks.
Very much so. And then I was actually reading something here that apparently Jeremy Renner was supposed to take over for Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay.
And then he was in his Bourne movie.
Yeah, that one wasn't very good.
And that just kind of put a kibosh on the whole deal.
Sure.
Which is unfortunate because, I mean, Jeremy Renner's... You know, I personally like Jeremy Renner as
too.
An actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in his role in the Mission Impossible movies, I thought he did pretty good, personally.
I mean, he's only been in a couple, though, because he was in Ghost Protocol, and then he was in, what was that, the one where he jumps into the big water hole.
So we had Mission Impossible 1, mm-hmm. Mission Impossible 2, 3.
Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol.
And then 4 would have been...
That was 4. Hold on. 1, 2, 3.
Is it Rogue Nation?
Rogue Nation, and then Fallout, and then Dead Reckoning.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Mission Impossible, Mission Impossible 2, Mission Impossible 3, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, Mission Impossible Fallout, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, and then an untitled 8th film.
Right. Because he was in Rogue Nation for, like, a few minutes, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And then he was never heard from again.
Right. Okay, so, yeah, because Rogue Nation, is the one where he was in the spinny vortex of doom.
Yep.
What?
It's true. I mean, Tom Cruise risks his life in all these movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because... So let's see here. Mission Impossible 1 had the wire scene.
Yep.
Mission Impossible 2 had
him.
The John Woo. Was it? Well, two was John Woo, like, right?
Yeah, well, it was him cliff hanging or whatever.
Yep, and then there was the motorcycle fight.
Yep.
And the John Woo doves.
Yep, exactly.
And then three was Abrams and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
Right. Which was the revitalization of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. And then Ghost Protocol was Burj Khalifa.
Yep.
And that was Brad Bird.
It was.
Who had gone from animation to IMAX.
Yep.
IMAX on the Burj Khalifa. That's quite the jump there.
It sure was. But a good leap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then
Rogue Nation, had the spinny Vortex of Doom.
Yep.
Fallout
was the when he was hanging off the plane.
Helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter. That's it.
Yep. And then Dead Reckoning Part 1. Or no. Well, I guess technically there's the opening and there's the
spinny.
Well, yeah. So there's the opening of the movie that's usually kind of like really crazy, and then there's mm-hmm. the, you know, kind of tentpole portion of it that, you know, so for number two would have been the rock climbing and mm-hmm. then the motorcycle fight.
Right.
And then three, I forget how it starts off, but there was the skyscraper jump.
Yep.
And then four was, I don't remember what the beginning of it was, but then the Burj Khalifa was the big, mm-hmm. big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Five was the plane, right?
Yeah, where he's hanging off of the plane when it takes off.
Right. And then...
Crazy psychopath.
Right. And then... which is the one? Oh, there's so many of them now. Because they had the... I think it was five where they catch the psycho guy who was in Alien. The one with... After Prometheus. Or no. Yeah. After Prometheus.
Alien Covenant?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So he was in that one and he had basically all of the spores eat his face.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. And he was the bad guy in five. Yeah.
Okay.
And then he returned as like the bad guy in six
mm-hmm.
with Cavill.
Right.
And... And then we had Dead Reckoning. Okay.
Now that we got that straight.
That's it. Yes, Mission Impossible 8 should be coming in May of next year. And we have Katie O'Brien has just joined the cast for that.
Nice.
More cast joining news.
Mm-hmm.
John Batiste, has joined in SNL 1975.
Okay.
And so he's not only going to be playing a part in the movie as Billy Preston, who was the first musical guest on SNL.
Okay.
But he is also scoring the movie.
Ooh, okay.
Did you ever watch Soul?
I did, yes.
Oh, that's right, because you didn't quite like it
mm-hmm.
the first time that you watched it, right?
Right. I thought it was just okay the first time I watched it, but then rewatching it again, I really enjoyed it.
So, John Batiste did the music for Soul.
Okay.
And so, like, especially all the piano playing,
mm-hmm.
that's John Batiste.
That's fantastic. Okay.
And so, he's going to be playing, like I said, Billy Preston, who was a singer and keyboardist.
Mm-hmm.
So, perfect casting for him.
Definitely.
And was the first... musical guest for SNL, and so with SNL 1975 taking place before the first show,
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Right.
So we do have that coming in here too, and then some more casting news for The Bride, which is the Maggie Gyllenhaal Frankenstein movie.
Oh, I was gonna say, is this like a prequel to like Kill Bills?
No.
But like, okay, it makes more sense now.
Yeah, this is the Maggie Gyllenhaal Frankenstein yep. movie.
Mm-hmm.
Julianne Hough.
Okay.
Is going to be joining in the cast. So I don't know how I feel about that.
So considering that she's like this blonde bombshell, she's going to be the love interest.
So she's going to be the bride?
I don't know about the bride.
Because, I mean, you have to remember this one also has Christian Bale, Jesse Buckley, Peter Sarsgaard, Annette Bening, and Penelope Cruz.
So I could see Penelope Cruz being the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And Julianne Hough being, like, a victim slash, like, the love interest of one of, like, Christian Bale or something.
Mm.
But I don't know exactly.
You ready for this?
Yes.
In the article,
mm-hmm.
they do say, details as to Hough's role are under wraps.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, so we have all of that coming in for casting news.
Okay.
Some other news that we have is that 14 movies are coming back to theaters.
Hmm.
Not only regular movies, Studio Ghibli movies.
That's awesome. Okay.
So that'll be a lot of fun here. And so that'll be for Studio Ghibli Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's not just Hayao Miyazaki movies that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The full list, Spirited Away,
mm-hmm.
Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, Castle in the Sky, The Secret World of Arrietty, When Marnie Was There, Princess Mononoke, Ponyo, Whisper of the Heart, The Cat Returns, Howl's Moving Castle, Kiki's Delivery Service, Pom Poko, The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, yeah, there we go, mm-hmm. and My Neighbor Totoro.
Okay.
And so that'll be from the end of this month through the middle of December.
Okay. So we actually have a standee in our lobby right now because we're going to be showing that.
Good.
So good. I plan on watching a lot of these since I haven't seen a single one. So.
Oh, dude.
And to watch him on the big screen.
You're going to be able to watch him for the first time on the big screen. Mm-hmm. Oh, I am jealous. I am jealous. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's going to be very beautiful.
Yes, mm-hmm. very much so. I very much would love to see Spirited Away. My Neighbor Totoro, absolutely. First and last movies, of course. Howl's Moving Castle would be pretty sweet, too, just because of the visuals of that one are insane.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most every single one of these, of the ones that I've seen, are like, man, I really want to see these on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing. So we do have that all coming in.
Awesome.
And again, this is going to be basically from end of this month until middle of December.
Okay.
Kind of running at very, very strange times,
mm-hmm.
I do have to say. So, like, Spirited Away, April 27th through May 1st.
Okay.
Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, May 19th and 21st. Castle in the Sky, May 20th and 22nd. Secret of the World of Arrietty, June 9th and 11th. When Marnie Was There, June 10th and 12th. Princess Mononoke, July 13th through 17th. Ponyo, August 3rd through 7th. Whisper of the Heart, August 25th and 27th.
Mm-hmm.
The Cat Returns, August 26th and 28th. Howl's Moving Castle, September 26th through October 3rd. Kiki's Delivery Service, October 26th through the 30th. Pom Poko, November 24th and 26th. The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, November 25th and 27th. And then My Neighbor Totoro is December 7th through 11th.
Okay.
So it's very, very strange kind of timing for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of them are basically kind of in a certain block, mm-hmm. but then they're kind of flip-flopping between days.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely very, very strange, but we'll see how it all goes.
Awesome.
It looks like there'll be both Japanese and English dubbed.
Ooh, okay.
For these. And then it's... According to the announcement, there will also be surprise special extra content.
Ooh.
With these. So just as a heads up for you, that's coming in.
That's exciting.
Very much so. Very much so. One thing that's not really exciting for me.
What's that?
Night of the Hunter. Which apparently the adaptation of Night of the Hunter is going to be coming in with Scott Derrickson directing it.
Okay.
And... Scott Derrickson kind of has a, you know, a little bit of a, you know, some good movies behind him here because he did Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
But he also did The Black Phone.
Okay.
And he's doing the Black Phone sequel as well.
Black Phone was very good. And then, I know you wouldn't see it,
nope,
but...
Nope, not even close.
Yeah, you wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Or a 29.5-foot pole.
It's not even that time of year, man.
I can be a Grinch all year.
That's right.
So, Scott Derrickson directing The Night Hunter. Have you heard of this one at all?
I honestly haven't, no.
So apparently it's based off of a book as well.
Okay.
And then, so basically the synopsis of it is Harry Powell, a serial killer posing as a preacher, marries a widow solely to gain access to her deceased husband's hidden fortune. Powell's stepchildren, John and Pearl, become the targets of his relentless pursuit as he seeks the money hidden by their father.
A serial killer disguised as a priest.
And then who marries a widow for her husband's fortune.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I'm down for it.
Should be interesting.
I wonder if the victims would be saying, "Help me, Rhonda! Help me, Rhonda!"
Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice?
I'm glad we were on the same wavelength on segues, though.
Right. Absolutely.
I had to really think if that was a Beach Boys song or not.
Oh, absolutely. So, Beach Boys. Apparently, there is a documentary coming to Disney Plus.
Mm, okay.
And I mean, I'm trying to remember who's like actually directing it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it'll include interviews with Brian Wilson, Mike Love, Al Jardine, David Marks, and Bruce Johnston.
Okay.
And it should be interesting to see.
It's very sad to hear. I'm surprised. I'm sure he'll be in it at some point. They just haven't announced it yet. But I'm surprised that John Stamos isn't a part of it because of the Full House.
No, absolutely. Well, I mean, like, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was years ago. I think it was like 2018 when they were at the State Fair for here in Minnesota.
Okay.
I went to go see them.
Ooh, okay.
It was them and the Righteous Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And John Stamos was there.
Awesome.
I mean, I was way up in the grandstands, but, you know, basically it was me and a bunch of family and, you know, kind of took all the aunties out to go see the Beach Boys because, you know, that's the music they grew up with.
Oh, sure.
And, That was a fun time, even being way up in the grandstands. So Beach Boys, John Stamos came out with them. I actually know somebody that was down right by the stage.
Ooh.
And like got a picture of them with John Stamos, like looking directly at the camera kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
And it was, I was kind of jealous, not going to lie.
Sure.
But yeah, so I would be very surprised as well if John Stamos was not in this in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, it sounds like it will be, releasing on May 24th.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how it all goes.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, that's, I guess, one segue to go from oldies music to, killer dolls.
I mean, old toys.
Right. Sure. I guess. But we do have a new Chucky film in the works, apparently.
Just let him die.
I mean, he has gotten quite a resurgence, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, with the TV show.
Well, there's the TV show, and then he's in video games. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Dead by Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
He is a downloadable killer for that one.
Oh, is he now? Okay.
Yes. And basically, like, with the way that that works is, you know, he'll run around as Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
But then if he downs one of the other players, like, basically his human soul kind of comes out and kind of materializes so that he can carry the person to one of the hooks that they have for all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, how did that work?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely, I feel like he's having a bit of a resurgence again.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a new movie in the works.
Okay. Well, I mean, the other Chucky movies, they aren't as good as the original three, in my opinion. Well, I should say four, because I really liked Bride of Chucky.
I mean, I feel like that one is one that a lot of people like, too.
It's really super cheesy, but it's just
like
early
one of those
2000s fun.
Yeah, it's one of those cult classics, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've seen it, but...
Right, right. But I'm sure you've heard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. Very much so. So we have a new Chucky film in the works.
Okay.
Switching gears, we also have a new Bad Guys in the works. So the animated movie from, what, DreamWorks?
Oh, with Sam Rockwell?
Yes. Yep, DreamWorks with... I mean, you know, there was like the snake and the shark and the wolf and basically the classic bad guys in you know, whatever fairy tale or whatever you have.
And then, of course, Billie Eilish.
And Billie Eilish, yep. Yep. So Sam Rockwell, Anthony Ramos, Marc Maron, Awkwafina, Craig Robinson. I don't know if they're returning or not.
Okay.
But we'll reteam the first picks, filmmakers and cast. So it sounds like we have them back.
Okay.
And then also returning are Zazie Beetz and Diana Foxington.
Zazie Beetz. I like
it. Zazie Beetz as Diana Foxington.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Ayoade is coming back as Professor Marmalade.
Okay.
And then Alex Borstein as Police Chief Misty Luggins. And then Lily Singh as Tiffany Fluffett.
Okay. Alex Borstein. Wow.
That's Lois a name.
Griffin.
That's a name. It's a name I've not heard in a long time.
It really is.
So we do have Bad Guys 2 coming in late 2025 as of right now.
Okay.
But I really don't have a segue to run over to this next movie here.
Well, yeah, it's right here.
So we have the new movie Here, which is a reteaming of three different people. Did you see the names on there?
Yeah. Robert Zemeckis, Tom Hanks, and is that Jeffrey Wright?
Robin Wright.
Robin Wright. Okay.
Yeah, which is why I was trying to run the segue and, you know, have it happens. You know.
Oh, my God. I hate myself. All right. I got you now.
Well, you know, Travis, stupid is a stupid does.
That's right. You know, I was watching a documentary, but it was just on, like, YouTube Shorts about how they didn't know how they wanted, Forrest Gump to talk. Because they hadn't filmed anything yet, but they had young Forrest on there. So they just modeled his voice off of the kid who played him first.
Yeah.
So Tom Hanks just followed him around and started to talk like the kid did until he got it down pat, basically.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Life is like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get.
I just like running.
He deserved it.
Travis, ice cream.
Ice cream,
Travis.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
You got new legs. Lieutenant Dan.
I got to rewatch that movie. It's so good.
And so, yeah, Robert Zemeckis, Tom Hanks, and Robin Wright are all re-teaming up for this Here movie. But apparently, they actually used de-aging on Tom Hanks and Robin Wright.
Okay.
Because Robert Zemeckis being Robert Zemeckis, he basically is like, this movie could not have happened if we didn't have de-aging and if we could not de-age our actors. Because, I mean, a lot of people already know what they looked like when they were younger, so you can't really recast them as their younger selves kind of thing.
Right.
So it sounds like it is based off of the innovative 2014 graphic novel of the same name. And then it also sounds like we have people like Paul Bettany and Kelly Riley coming in.
Okay. Seeing Tom Hanks with the longer curly hair again, that'd be weird.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, Robert Zemeckis said, "I've always been attracted to technology that helps me to tell a story." Ebenezer Scrooge, anybody?
Right.
Because that was all motion capture.
Pretty much, yeah.
Back when they still had the dead eyes.
Yeah, very much so. The Dark Days. Yeah.
Wait, was that that was Scrooge, right?
Was that Scrooge?
Christmas Carol?
It was. No, I think you're thinking of Polar Express.
No, because he did the animated Jim Carrey.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so. Let me just double check.
Now that you mention, I think you're right.
The 2009 Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey and Gary Oldman as Bob Cratchit. Mm-hmm. Colin Firth is in there. Directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Mm, okay.
Hey, I remembered.
Well, looky there.
So, yeah, I mean, he's had some hits and misses, though. Because, I mean, obviously, Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Huge hit.
Right.
A Christmas Carol, when that came out.
Mm-hmm. That was in the dark times.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he do Polar Express, or was that somebody else?
I think that was Robert Zemeckis.
It was Robert Zemeckis. And then, obviously, Forrest Gump, like we were talking about. I'm trying to think of other directing stuff.
Didn't he make the one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt where he walks across the World Trade Center?
The Walk, yep. He also directed Flight.
Oh, yeah, with Denzel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Welcome to Marwen.
Oh, with Steve Carell, yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then he also did another Tom Hanks-led movie. Oh, Pinocchio!
Oh, yeah.
The live-action Pinocchio.
That's right. Never did see that.
I heard way too many not great things about it, so right. I kind of stayed away from it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. He did Beowulf, too. Yeah, that was... He did Polar Express, and then Beowulf, and then A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
Just right in a row.
So his, like, three animated or CG animated movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Castaway.
Oh, yeah.
Contact. He directed a couple episodes of Tales from the Crypt.
Great show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I forgot about Roger Rabbit.
Oh.
That's a great movie.
That is a great movie. Romancing the Stone.
Good series. Well,
the movie.
One. Yeah.
With Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner and Danny DeVito.
Did he also do Jewel of the Nile, too? Or was that another director?
I think that was another director.
Okay.
Yep, I think that was another director.
All right.
Oh, he did Death Becomes Her as well.
Oh, with Bruce Willis and Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, and Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. You are correct, sir. You are correct, sir.
You are very correct. Castaway.
Wilson. But yeah, so that is here. And I mean, I know after for a while there, especially after like Polar Express and Beowulf and A Christmas Carol, we were like, okay, Robert Zemeckis, you can take a break for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just step away from directing.
Right.
Which is apparently what Alex Garland is doing.
Mm-hmm.
He has fallen out of love with filmmaking. So he is not going to be like directing anything for... He doesn't think he's going to do it ever again, but at least for a long while. At the very least for a long while, but probably not. He doesn't think that he wants to ever again.
Well, I mean, he's been putting out movie after movie for a bit here, so...
He has been. But yeah, basically, he said that the love of, you know, the love of making doesn't kind of overshadow the pressure anymore of making the film.
Okay.
Yeah, the pressure doesn't come from money. It comes from the fact that you're asking people to trust something that, on the face of it, doesn't look very trustworthy.
Sure.
And so, like, especially with Alex Garland, go back to 2014 with Ex Machina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he basically asked Alicia Vikander and Sonoya Mizuno that, you know, the nudity that would be in there would be dealt with thoughtfully and respectfully.
Right.
Whereas usually in cinema... You know, especially with the female body, a lot of nudity isn't very respectful and isn't done very thoughtfully.
Right. Speaking of Ex Machina, did you see it's coming back to theaters and to IMAX?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
I saw that and I was like, ooh, I need to tell John.
So I saw it in... I think the smallest theater. I think I saw it in 6.
Okay.
And even then, it was just like, okay, uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a great movie. I recommend you watch it to anybody
mm-hmm.
who is, you know, okay with, you know, nudity, some very, you know, actually very thoughtful, you know, and well within the story nudity.
It is, yeah, very much so.
And then also very much, you know, surprise body horror
mm-hmm. right.
kind of coming in there. But just, you know, thought-provoking movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we've talked about it before, but one of my former coworkers, you know, after I'd seen the movie, I was kind of ranting and raving about it. Mm-hmm. And a little while later, he went to go watch it. And, like, I knew that he was going to go watch it, so I went up to him after, and I was like, so how'd you like the movie? He kind of just looked at me. He's like, I hate you. I love the movie, but I hate you. But yeah, that is good to hear that it's coming back to theaters. Hopefully, you know, yeah. kind of now that Alex Garland has kind of more of a household name than he did back then,
mm-hmm.
that it helps it to kind of do a little bit better. But
definitely,
I don't know if I can handle it again.
Right.
But
just a one and done for you.
Yeah, I think so. I might, if like I'm with somebody that hasn't seen it, I'm like, oh, we gotta watch this,
mm-hmm.
just so I can watch their expression too.
Sure.
And then get you their thoughts on it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I can, you know, just be like, oh, I'm kind of bored tonight. Yeah, let's watch Ex Machina.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's not one of those movies.
No. But yeah, Alex Garland basically said that after Civil War, he is stepping back from directing.
Okay.
You know, it sounds like he's going to go, like, he's still going to be in filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to basically go back to writing movies.
Okay.
So that, you know, it's not like, he basically said that before directing Ex Machina, he wrote screenplays that other people directed, and that that's something he wanted to get back to. And he said, quote, I'm tired of feeling like a fraud. I've got so many other reasons to feel like a fraud. I don't need to add to it in a structural way with my job.
But he's so good, though.
He is.
I'm so excited to see Civil War. Like, oh. Mm-hmm.
And so we have that coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But he is also attached to direct another movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that one is basically, he's co-directing it. And the other person, he said, is going to be taking the reins on the entire thing.
Okay.
So he has, Garland is attached to co-direct the upcoming project Warfare with Ray Mendoza, who will be making his feature directing debut. Garland painted his role as more of a supporting character to Mendoza's lead, explaining, quote, I respect Mendoza a great deal, though we are very different.
Okay.
So that is something that is coming in
okay.
as well. So we have Civil War. We have one more movie that he is, you know, quote unquote, co-directing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he said that basically he's done directing.
Okay.
So, I mean, I respect him for, you know, knowing kind of his limits and,
yeah.
you know, not trying to push himself too far past him.
Definitely.
And, you know, if he has and he's just feeling completely burnt out, you know, I feel for him, absolutely. I hope that he gets, you know, the rest and relaxation that he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait for Civil War to come out. And
I'm
excited to see kind of, you know, what he ends up doing next kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. Because I loved Dread as well.
Yeah, Dread is fantastic. That's another movie that I wouldn't mind watching on a big screen again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, just one more. I'm just kind of double-checking here. So his entire directing filmography is Ex Machina.
Okay.
Annihilation.
Great movie.
Okay. 8 episodes of Devs.
Okay.
Men.
Okay.
And Civil War.
All right. Men, I thought, was just but I could see how people would like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just not the strongest for me in his filmography.
Right.
I'd say Ex Machina, for sure, and Annihilation were, until I see Civil War, for sure, are my favorites.
Yep, and I know we've talked about it before, but kind of just his writing credits, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently he actually did Devil May Cry from 2013.
Mm.
He wrote that.
Okay.
And then Devil May Cry Bloody Palace Mode and Devil May Cry Virgil's Downfall.
Okay.
And then, let's see here. So we talked about Dread. He also wrote, going back to his first, like, actual written by credit for a movie,
mm-hmm.
28 Days Later.
Ooh, okay.
And then he wrote the novel for the Tesseract, apparently. But then he also wrote Sunshine.
Okay.
For Mr. Danny Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
Which, 28 Days Later as well.
Great movie, too, sure.
Because that was Danny Boyle, too, right?
It was, yeah.
So, and then, yeah, Dread and Ex Machina, and then basically all of his movies. So I'm excited to see kind of what he does next.
Yeah.
To keep a, you know, keep an eye on what he's doing.
Definitely.
That does end our movie news. Travis, do you have anything you want to say about any of that kind of stuff?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. All right, let's go to the trailers then. First trailer that we have is Kinds of Kindness. This one is another, Yorgi? I can never remember his name. Yorgos Lanthimos.
Okay.
Guy who did Poor Things.
Yep.
With Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons is in it. Willem Dafoe is in this one.
Yep.
I really don't know what to take of this because it was like 47 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on what to think of it, but if it's anything, well, I'm sure it won't be like Poor Things because Poor Things is just a whole different movie. But I think it could be good. I mean, it's got a great cast.
It does. It does. And it very much looks... one person I wasn't expecting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Mamadou Athi.
Okay.
Who, if you watched Element, he's the voice of Wade. See here. He's also the voice of Parakeet in The Boy and the Heron.
Okay.
And then, oh, yeah, that's right. He's Ramsey Cole in Jurassic World Dominion. So he's kind of the guy under Dodgson.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, like, his Dodgson's... successor. That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay. All right.
So he's going to be in this too.
All right. I had to really think back into Jurassic Park Dominion there for a second.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. But yeah, just like if you remember Elemental at all, again, he's the voice of Wade, the one of the main characters.
Right.
And then he's done a couple other things too, but nothing really like really stand out, which is unfortunate because I think he's a pretty darn good actor too. But yeah, Kinds of Kindness. I don't know what to think of this movie, man.
I don't either.
I'm kind of lost right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to see more of a kind of story driven trailer to really know.
Right. Absolutely.
What to think about it.
Absolutely. One thing I know what to think about is our next trailer. Bad Boys Ride or Die.
They have a missed opportunity. They should have called the last one. So the last one should have been this named this one. So they should have named Bad Boys for Life for this one. And then the last one should have been Ride or Die. Because they just missed an opportunity.
They did. So with this trailer, I mean, it just seems like more Bad Boys shenanigans. Not even like Bad Boys 1, but Bad Boys 2 shenanigans. I did notice we had the low angle Michael Bay pan around.
Yes, I did too.
I don't know who's direct. I think it's the same directors as the last one.
Okay.
Let me just double check here quick. Adil Arbi and Bilal Fallah.
Okay.
Let me just double check to make sure that they did. Oh, yeah. So so they directed two episodes of Miss Marvel as well, but they did direct Bad Boys for Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been a big fan of this series, and I'm super excited to see this. I like these characters. Mm-hmm. It's basically Lethal Weapon, but just with a different shade of skin.
So I don't know what it was, but Martin Lawrence. It almost looked like he had prosthetics on his face in some of the shots. I don't know. It was really weird. I don't know what it was, but it
I
just...
I have to go back and rewatch it.
I don't even know what to... Or, like, how to even explain it. But it was almost like they had put, like, full-on, like, cheekbone prosthetics onto his face to kind of expand out his cheekbones a little bit.
Well, I know that's how his face looked in the last one.
Right, right.
And I know he's gotten a little chunkier. I'm sorry to say that, Martin Lawrence. I know you're listening.
Well, I mean, like, it didn't even, like, look like his face was bigger because he was bigger kind of thing. It was almost like he had, I feel really bad saying this, but, like, almost like he had growths on his cheekbones kind of thing. It was really weird.
Interesting. Unless maybe it was a point in the movie where they actually put prosthetics on him and it was just that you saw the aftermath of it. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. We'll have to see how it all goes. But
exactly. I mean, it's coming out this summer, so.
Exactly. Exactly. But that does bring us to our last trailer. This one. The trailer for Unfrosted.
This looks like a heck of a lot of fun.
It does. It is the quote-unquote true story of the Breakfast Wars of Kellogg's and Post about the breakfast pastry coming into being. And it has a cast.
Sure does.
Yeah, so this is the full title is Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story. So it was written by Spike Ferenstein, Andy Robin, and Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
And it was directed by Jerry Seinfeld. And it stars Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy, Hugh Grant is in there. Rachel Harris, James Marsden, Maria Bakalova, Dan Levy is in there. Amy Schumer was in there. Christian Slater, Bill Burr, Jack McBrayer, Fred Armisen. I mean, Jim Gaffigan is in there. It's just kind of like everybody.
I love Bill Burr as John F. Kennedy. He looks so much like him, too.
Right? I was not expecting that.
Hugh Grant is Tony the Tiger. Come on now. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then we had Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Yeah, we did.
We had basically all of the breakfast cereals. We had Chef Boyardee was in there.
Chef Boyardee. We had the oatmeal guy, Quaker.
Yeah, Quaker Oats guy.
Yeah.
Just all over the place. I, like you said, this looks like just a crazy fun time. Like, I don't even know where to even talk about this.
Yeah. It when does it come out again?
That is a great question. It's coming out to Netflix. I don't have a, next month, May 3rd.
Okay. So in May, so not too long.
Yep. Yep. So we got 1 month.
Okay.
But yeah, this trailer just, it was very, very colorful, very bright. The opening of it was the toaster being pushed down.
I love, that was so cool.
And then like the spaceship imagery of the Pop-Tart popping up.
That's so good.
Because it takes place in the 60s. Hence the John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how this all goes. Oh, did I say Melissa McCarthy?
You did, yeah.
Yes, okay, cool.
Like when she's trying to spout off all the different names of what they want to call it.
Is this a joke?
Right.
So, we'll have all of that coming in. But that is our last trailer for the day. Travis, do you have anything you want to say about the trailers?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, then make sure you visit us at Facebook. We're facebook.com/moviesarething. We're also on Twitter and Instagram @moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slash, anything like that. @moviesarething. Ran out of air. Come on by and say hi. So that brings us to the movies that are premiering this week. The first movie that we have is The First Omen. This one is rated R and will be in theaters. When a young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, she encounters a darkness that causes her to question her own faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and Metacritic did not have a score for this one. Travis.
Yeah, this is all me.
That's all you.
You know, I thought I would be more excited about this than I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this because I like horror.
Yeah.
But do I feel like it's needed? No.
Is it needed? No. Will I watch it? Yeah.
Basically. So, like, I was never really a big fan of The Omen to begin with. I did like the remake that they did in 2006, but that's about it. And I thought that they were never going to do another one. And then, now they're coming out with a prequel. And it does look scary. I mean, it looks freaky.
Is it Freaky Deaky Dutch?
I wouldn't say Freaky Deaky Dutch. I don't know where to segue to that. But I'm gonna have to remain skeptical, because I just don't know what to expect with this, because it could either be good or it could be bad. Yeah, 50-50 on it.
I mean, so the first Omen.
Mm-hmm.
That one was the it's all for you, Damien. This is all for you.
Yeah. So the kids are already born, and he's with the parents.
Gotcha.
And this is like the birth of him, of Damien.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Or at least the attempt.
The attempt of. But I mean, I'm sure he gets born, and or at least there's an end credit scene where he pops out at some point. I don't. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We'll
mm-hmm.
find out, or I'll find out, because I know you won't.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they kind of have that same premise of, we did it for you, Damien, all for you, in there, because that lady kind of sets herself on fire in the courtyard.
So, sorry, I'm just kind of looking at the previous Omen movies. Interesting. So the kid that played Damien in the 2006 one apparently was Roosevelt in Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
But has not really done anything since 2020.
Gotcha, okay.
Interesting.
Moonrise Kingdom, that's a good one.
So, that is the movie that we have for this week.
Definitely.
The next one that we have is Monkey Man. This one is rated R and will be in theaters. Inspired by the legend of Hanuman, an icon embodying strength and courage, Monkey Man stars Dev Patel as kid, an anonymous young man who ekes out a meager living in an underground fight club where, night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he is beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, Kid discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. IMDb has this one at a 7.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 93%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 71. I want to see this one.
I do too.
I mean, like, Dev Patel, I like almost everything that he's in that I've seen.
Me too.
And then he actually directed this one as well.
And starring in it.
And is starring in it. And then this is the one that Jordan Peele, like, it was at Netflix. Jordan Peele saw it.
Yeah.
And then he basically got the rights for it to bring it over to Universal. And so I know, that's quite the story that they got going on with that one too.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think they had to make some changes to it just in general, because there's some, at least over in, I think India. There's some imagery that could cause some kerfuffle.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, I mean, this is one that I've, since the first trailer that we had, I've wanted to watch it.
Me too. It looks like John Wick meets Old Boy.
Okay. Yep. No, absolutely. I totally get that. And I mean, yeah, no, I don't know where I was going with that. But, This is definitely the one that I want to watch this week.
Me too.
Very nice.
And then on top of all the other stuff that you need to catch up on.
Right. Well, there's that too.
Right.
But who knows? I might not be able to. We'll see how it goes.
Fair enough. All right. Sounds good.
But that is the last movie that we have for this week. Travis. So both of them for you. Monkey Man more than First Omen?
Yeah, I think Monkey Man first for sure, and then First Omen last.
Okay.
Coincidentally enough.
Very nice. All right. Well, then we have all of that. Like I said, that those are the two movies that we have for this week. Make sure you visit us at Facebook, facebook.com/moviesarething. We're also on Twitter and Instagram @moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that @moviesarething. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/moviesarething. If you want to help support the podcast, we do have that over there. Travis.
Yes.
That was delayed.
I was also going to say that we that also thank you to St. Michael Cinema for giving us the space.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, St. Michael Cinema. We do appreciate the space to record and you sponsoring the podcast for us.
Most
it's very nice, very nice. Appreciate it.
Very much so.
But other than that, Travis.
Yes, sir.
I do believe it is about that time.
Here it comes.
Cue the outro. Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing. Be sure to tune in next week for more movies and tangents with us. Fortunate. Ooh. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Moto.
Hello, Moto.
But yes, we have the shitty of dreams we got taken out there. Because I gave her a ha.
The shitty of dreams.
Because I gave her a ha, and a hi-ya, and a hoo-ah. And then I'd kick her, sir. Okay. So we got all of that there with the good to go and everything. And then, Travis, I do have another question for you. What would you do if I spent the whole time going like... Hold on. When did the last dodo go extinct?
I'm going to laugh if your computer says you're a dodo.
Sorry, closing some tabs here. There it goes. Robble. Hour and a half.
Jeez.
We did start a little early, though.
We did. We're doing good.
Woo!
Woo!
Woo! So.
Blah.
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 Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, then. We just got shit all done here. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. We have the podcast done here.
We got all that done here with
the podcast and the whatnot. With the recording and the talking and the blah, blah, blah. And the all right. I guess I should probably go through and...
What?
I forgot to hit record.
Are you being serious?
April Fools! Ah!
Okay. Whew, okay.
I had to get you at least once.
Yeah, you got me. That's gonna be like, what?
Yeah, no, we got the okay. Waveforms going.
All right, cool.
She be recording, but now she be stopping. Stop.